Look, I'm just saying, make America Mexico again.
That's right? What I'm fucking talking about.
Or make America France again. Louisiana Purchase was a mistake. I'm a one-issue voter now.
I'm willing to compromise. Instead of immediately dissolving America, we just Benjamin Button it and gradually give it back to the people over the course of about 300 years that we stole it from, in order, and no reinstate. Like, we don't go backwards in the laws, though. There's not like slavery again or anything. I would never say that. I'm just saying.
What about a land acknowledgement where you're in Louisiana? Like, where, but like, it's like a land acknowledgement, but like, so you're in Louisiana and like, this Cajun cookout is on King Louis's land. That kind of acknowledgement.
Make America Canada again, and then make Canada France again, and then make France back into Gaul, I guess. Whatever it was before it was France.
That's, we need to
not even just in the colonizer states.
Right? With a V when they say return. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, if we're going to return to monkey, we should also return to whatever, you know, vague city states existed when we were barely evolved from monkey.
And so speaking of somebody who's barely evolved from monkey, did you hear Kent State Gun Girl is a trad calf now?
Oh, geez.
I did not hear that.
I wish I didn't know how to parse that sentence.
Yeah, imagine how blissfully ignorant you'd feel if you're like, Kent State? Gun? Trad calf? I don't know what that means. I'm going to go back to watching American Idol now.
What is
Kent
any of this
State,
shit?
Gun, trad calf, poop pants? Come on, wake up, man. It's 2004. Let's go play Halo.
Speaking of monkeys, you guys want to hear about the gauntlet of work stuff I had to go through? Because I just am about to start this new job. Mm-hmm. Well, it really hasn't been all that bad, honestly. The main trap that I'm trying not to fall into is that the lead guy who's like hiring me loves to talk. Like, he talked to me for about 15 full minutes about his son's like path through learning to love sailing today. Wow. And I was like, well, you know, it wasn't like a terrible conversation. I'm just having trouble like, you know, relating to it. And
yeah, I don't know. Something about that sentence, I thought you're gonna be like, his son's ex, and I was like, surely it'll be something like vaguely interesting, and it's just like his son's development of an interest in a hobby.
He talked to me at length about his son's penis.
He talked my ear off about that. But also, I had to get a physical today, which I knew was coming because it said it in the job description, but it involved a drug test, which I was not ready for and had many questions about, none of which were answered. So it was like an instant. Have you guys had to do a drug test in the last however many years? Probably not, huh?
The last time I had to do a drug test was in 2015, and I taped one of those plastic Flex bottles to my leg and used my I used my roommate's clean piss. And I passed with flying colors.
They made me take everything out of my pockets and everything, but they didn't make me like take off my sweater or anything. I'm wearing baggy pants, but I just pissed in it. I was like, fuck it. You know, if they screen for weed and it's a problem, then, you know, fuck it, who cares? And so I, you know, fill up the cup. I'm looking at the side of the cup and it says like instant results. And then I bring it out and the lady just peels the whole ass sticker off the front of the cup.
Oh,
and looks at the results on the inside. And I don't see anything, but I don't know what to look for. And then she looks down at the sheet where there are like six things in tiny text that I can't read. And she marks nothing down on the sheet and signs her name.
I think you passed, bro.
It sounds like you aced it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Here's my thing, though, is like, if they were testing for weed, it should have showed up, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's no way it couldn't.
No. What if this is how you find out that you've been smoking spice this whole time?
I mean, maybe.
It's always been K2. Wait, can they in Michigan? Because weed's legal in Michigan now.
Yeah, but they can still screen because it's not federally legal, right?
Right. And
it's
that whole fucking loophole.
My position is also a driving position, so there's extra paranoia about putting someone behind the wheel who might have smoked the devil's cabbage.
If you tested positive for weed, wouldn't they be like, all right, are you good at driving while you're high? Well, then that's even better. You get a pay grade.
You got to ask the fairness questions. Yeah.
He seemed completely sober, but this piss test shows he's high as shit. So I think he's got a better constitution than the other applicants. He should move to the front of the line.
I thought you said you were an equal opportunity employer. What the fuck?
And then, I was trying to study for the drug test by taking all the drugs so I would know what they are when you asked about them.
The other thing that was weird is they asked me like a million times if my back was okay. They're like, is your back all right? And I'm like, my back is fine. They're like, have you ever had back surgery? I'm like, no. And they're like, have you ever had any invasive surgery? And I was like, no. And they were like, in your back.
You're gonna be lifting, John. You're gonna be shredded by the time you finish this job.
Oh, I am. Because another part of the physical, this was so insane to me, was they filled up a milk crate with sandbags so that it weighed 50 pounds. And then they made me lift it off a stool and put it on the, like, in, you know, the in doctor's bed where you get the physical done.
Yeah.
And then put it down and then pick it up and put it down. I did it three times. And then the nurse was like, okay, you're fine. Also, can you put it over there? Cause it's really heavy.
Wow, so here's what you should have done for this job than that nurse is. If she can't even lift 50 pounds.
Yeah. What the fucking nurse?
Yeah,
what the
fuck? Yeah. Come on.
What you should have done is pretended you couldn't lift it. You got to pretend you can't lift it so that then they have to hire you anyway, because they can't discriminate based on your ability to lift something.
Right.
Right. Well, I'm pretty sure that's illegal. So then you get the job, but you don't have to lift anything.
Right.
That is the dream.
She also told me, she's like, we're going to check to make sure that you lift things properly, which is feet about shoulder length apart, using primarily your knees and not your back. And in my mind, I'm like, we're going to make sure you know how to do a thing. Here's how to do it. You know? And then after all that, the doctor comes in and the whole process is just like, okay, you know, let me look in your ears. Let me look in your mouth. And then turn your head and cough.
Wait. They did a penis inspection for your new job?
Well, she was like, I'm going to check for a hernia. And I was like, okay. And she was like, okay, so take your pants off. And I was like, oh, great.
Oh, what shucks. A fucking day.
Oh, no. Oh, gee.
Yeah, I just met you.
You're going to, for the new job at the Amazon warehouse, everybody's going to have to be circumcised. And if you and if it's grown back, you have to be recircumcised.
Oh, geez. Oh, boy.
Look, I'm just saying, look, that's why we need a labor movement in the United States. Mm-hmm. There's no ownership of your
There's not even an ownership of your own penis or the skin on the end of it, let alone the means of production.
Well, and there was like no ownership of the whole medical process, right? Because like my employer, my now employer, now that I passed with flying colors, apparently, paid for the whole thing. So I got to go into a medical facility, get seen, get told I'm okay. You know, they did my blood pressure and everything. So I'm healthy, cool. Nice. And then I didn't have to pay for it, which is like, wow, do I have to get a decent job in order to get like one doctor's visit? You know, like,
I mean, basically,
yeah, pretty much.
That's completely fucked.
That's very, very bleak.
And it sucks too, because it's like, you know, the whole process felt incredibly consolidated and like married to employment. And then that was really driven home when I walk out of the Holland Medi Center and I'm like, okay, better put the, you know, the office into my GPS so I can go meet up with the boss like you told me to. How far away is it? 0.4 miles. It's around the corner, bitch. Like these people, like everything is so neatly tucked into one little corner of the city. And they're just like, they vertically integrated everything, including getting me seen by a doctor for long enough to ensure I can lift part, you know, snacks and put them in a vending machine.
They walked outside and were like,
restocking.
I'm gonna be restocking vending machines. I'm gonna be driving my little ass up to Grand Rapids in a box truck and making sure you have your ho-hos and your ding-dongs and some other less funny name snacks.
I thought there was a treat shortage.
There's no treat shortage in Holland. Let me tell you, we got treats out the wazoo. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just the fancy treats that people are running short of. They're too good to eat the ho-hos and the ding-dongs and such.
They probably are. And it's also really weird because the meeting room we always like, you know, meet in has a bunch of like products that they sell on the table. So there's like a bottle of Mountain Dew, a bottle of Pepsi, you know, some Pop-Tarts, some Doritos, shit like that. And then it's like they're not for eating.
So what you're saying
for
is
for demonstration purposes?
Yeah, they're there as a testament to what we sell out of the vending machine.
So what you're saying is, as the empire collapses, we actually treats will be the one thing we do have access to, but basic necessities like healthcare and like of healthy meal will be the things that we don't have access to.
Yeah, I mean,
the
Midwest and the Rust Belt especially, I think, will die clutching their snacks, their Hanover's pretzels and chips and all of that other stuff. You know, they're never going to let that shit go.
Someone's going to have just like a nuclear bunker and it's filled to the brim with treats like that. And then so they'll be eating them in 50 years when the rest of the world is irradiated.
Speaking of treats, I'm going to get some more whiskey.
John, it sounds like you're very prepared for whenever America becomes the Death Stranding world. You're set to be whatever that job is called, where he's like carrying huge crates on his back, and I think fighting mutants along the way.
A baby in a pickle jar.
Yeah, you're going to need the baby in the pickle jar around your neck, the bridge baby, I think they call it, and you're going to hang out with Guillermo del Toro. But basically, you're getting ready for that.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thinking about this job is it's like, yeah, it's good pay, and it'll probably be like the best money I've made at a worky job in my life so far. But even more important than that is that if society crumbles instantaneously, which is the way it does...
Yeah.
I'll have at least one truck full of Fritos. You know.
Yeah.
A couple of cases of Pepsi Clear.
That kind of sounds like the guy who it's like they meet in like episode 4 of a zombie show and he's managed to survive on his like truck full of snacks. And things are getting worse. It's not a long-term solution, but it's definitely like a first couple of weeks. You can just park, hide from zombies inside the truck, drink Pepsi and eat chips. You're surviving for a while.
Well, that's always been my aspiration is like whatever story I'm in to be like a fan favorite bit character who doesn't necessarily get a lot of screen time, you know? You got to leave them wanting more.
Because every minute of screen time you get is another minute that you could get killed off in.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and better to exit into, you know, driving your little Frito van off into the sunset than get killed halfway munching through your bag of a flaming hot Funyuns.
That's right.
You know, from whatever the threat is, whether it's like, you know, zombies or a nuclear doom or some kind of mysterious impending fog that nobody is sure exactly why it's doing that.
Or looters. People are going to be like, I haven't been in an Applebee's in 2 weeks, so I'm armed with a spear and I'm going to kill the next person I see for some food.
Just going that's fucking the only crazy outcome. Because you haven't been able to get a Bloomin' Onion and a Dollar Marg.
Those people would go crazy first.
You know, I find that mindset where it's like, you know, the Bloomin' Onion and the Dollar Marg being the indicator of the empire falling. I don't get it because those things will be available. Like they're going to keep supplying you your bread and circuses. It's like if you can't get like a tourniquet, that's when you've got to start fucking panicking, you know?
Yeah, when you can't buy wood anymore. Oh shit, that's already kind of happened. Wait, when you can't when water starts to get expensive. Oh well, hold on a minute.
When medical supplies are getting scarce and like you kind of need them for the area you're in, but like the level, but you can't really get them.
Right. My fucking gas bill was like $200 this month. What the fuck is that?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, that shit's like magic. I had the opposite thing happen. I thought I missed a month of paying my electric bill, and I called them like ready to be like, okay, here's $300. And they were like, 80 bucks. And I was like, 80 bucks indeed. who knows how this works? But when they give you a good number, you just say yes.
I feel like every so often they just give you a low number. So you're like, well, the number's not always big. Maybe I was a good boy last month.
Yeah, that just individually like taking bets on how much they can charge us each month. They're like, I don't think Mr. Zygderman knows what a kilowatt hour is.
Well, that's why I mean, like, if you know, if you're bullish on the fall of society, you got to invest in solar.
Yeah, you gotta be investing in kilowatt hours. People keep going to these crypto coins. What are those backed by? You know, a wish and a dream. A kilowatt hour, that's actual electrical current. That's real.
Well, had we done the last episode by the time I invested in Mongoose coin?
I don't think I mention so. That What's on going the last on with- episode?
It's hard for me to even know because it feels like every day you just make one up.
The story.
Dude, Mongoose
is
coin
good.
Is that like fighting with snake coin? There's like a cobra coin, and one goes up if the other goes down.
So, tabby coin.
No. The reality is much dumber than anything you could riff on. So apparently there was like a hearing about crypto before Congress, and this congressman who is like a moron. I think in Kentucky or something, he was like, well, the biggest threat to crypto is crypto. You know, Bitcoin could be displaced by Ethereum, which could be displaced. And then he just starts making up fake coins. And he's like, and they could all be displaced by Mongoose coin. And then some people made an actual coin called Mongoose coin. And I put like $100 in, and now it's worth $1,000.
Wow.
Really?
This is a clown economy, baby.
It is. And I think eventually Mongoose coin will get replaced by eventually my son's interest in homework will get replaced by a damn Pokemon card.
That's right. That's right. So anyway, once I've lost everything because I took out triple leverage on Mongoose coin, then the listeners can laugh at me. But for now, I would consider this a win.
Well, the 7-day chart of Mongoose Coin does look a bit like a mountain peak. It goes up, then it goes down a little bit, but it's still up there. So
way up.
It's, I mean, from the start when it was worth.
Well, the funniest 10, thing is because that congressman actually retweeted Mongoose Coin. He was like, the emerging mongoose community.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm sure somebody will make Apocalypse Coin once the apocalypse is happening and trade
speaking of,
coins back and forth.
Speaking of all these different commodities that we've been talking about, snacks, coins, various things, I wanted to talk about some of the commodities that you might not have considered because they're in South America. And these commodities run the world. And this might seem a weird segue, but I want to start this little section of the episode by congratulating Gabriel Boric, who just won in Chile. He's a social democrat kind of type. He's a little further left than that might normally imply, but it's like, you know, that's about as good as you're going to get in most elections and stuff. And he's already facing a lot of
criticism.
He's the
Elizabeth Warren of whatever he's doing down there.
Well, here's the thing about him is that he seems like really genuine and accessible, and it could just be a case of they're pandering directly to me. Because he's like a guy who wears tool hats and 9-inch nail shirts.
Is he a millennial too? I heard about that.
Yeah,
I
think he's a 35. 90s kid. Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
He's pretty young.
We need more 90s kids in government, I think.
We do. Yeah. And, you know, what was the tweet that went around today where it was like, Gabriel Boric has just become the world's most powerful tool fan.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, but so everybody's really concerned about the copper economy all of a sudden. Bloomberg has a piece, copper miners in crosshairs after leftist wins Chile election. And the weird thing about that to me is they're just like not even... There's no quiet part or loud part. They're just like, a socialist won. It's going to be harder to get copper out of Chile now. And
it is very funny. This is just how places like Bloomberg do it, where they're like, well, this is how this political development affects the price of this commodity, the value right. of this stock, whatever. It's just how they think about the world.
Yeah, it's very, very weird because they're not like at all concerned about like, the infrastructure of Chile or its economy in terms of the people of Chile having X amount of money, you know, gross domestic product per household or whatever. Mm-hmm. They're just like copper mining index slips after election in top producer. And they're like, the big line is going down, guys. The copper line is going down and they just finally put it in Minecraft. It's unbelievable. We're going to need so much more copper.
Copper to Minecraft. I wish there was stuff you could do with it.
If I was the economies of the Western world, I would simply come up with like a new Pinochet, but he's a millennial who has a Twitch channel.
I think that's Mayor Pete.
Did you see that? The BBC, after the election of Gabriel Boric, went into the streets of Chile to a university, I don't remember which one specifically, and interviewed a guy named Gustavo Pinochet and asked him about what he thought about the election results. And then it turns out, yes, he is related.
Hell yes.
That is a little on the nose.
That's
I mean, it's one thing
journalism.
To be like... copper line go down, but to be like, well, this election happened. We looked for we scoured the streets and the phone book until we found a guy named Pinochet to see what he thought. It was a complete coincidence that he's also related to that Pinochet.
They couldn't have just come up with like a lower third for the news report where it was just like, just this man. They had to like, because they could have just had, you know, they didn't have to say it, you know.
He could use an alias.
Gustavo Pinochet, student.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, I don't know. It probably was. That's the thing, though, is like Pinochet's a bit too much of a tip-off. You got to get someone who's a relative of like Pinochet's favorite general or whatever, you know, his right-hand man or something. You can't just be like, oh, we asked, you know, Anastasia Romanov what she thought about Vladimir Lenin. Come on.
Yeah, at least have this other Pinochet like pay his friend $100 to like, say the same thing instead. So it's like you got a little layer. I mean, like, you know, like you got to launder that shit. It can't just come straight from Pinochet again.
But it seems like these Western media outlets are like utterly incapable of laundering any of this shit anymore. And there's an article here from Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting that says Financial Press fears Brazilians will be allowed to elect president of their choice. So Lula was recently dismissed had all charges dismissed against him. And the interesting thing about that is that it makes him eligible to run against Jair Bolsonaro again. And every single fucking Western publication like Bloomberg, Reuters, Forbes are talking about like Lula being the worst case scenario for Brazil and ruining its economy. And it's so funny because it's like, I just can't imagine anything you could accuse Lula of potentially doing that Jair Bolsonaro hasn't already fucking done. And it's just really indicative of the way that like Western media goes hand in hand with intelligence agencies, the OAS, and all of these other groups that are attached to the US government to just like try to take the will of South American people and, you know, discard it and just do whatever they want to do instead.
Personally, I think, look, Jair Bolsonaro has had COVID like six times. If he gets the new variant and he survives, they should just let him have it. I mean, come on. The guy has been through so much.
I mean, he's just so...
he's like an old junkyard dog. Nothing can kill him.
He's so fucking unlikable, though. That's the thing. Like, if Lula runs against him, he's gonna destroy him. And especially with like all of this pushback against the United States influence in these countries, if Lula wins against Bolsonaro, it'll probably take this time. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, the only reason Bolsonaro won is because Lula was railroaded, and like, I mean, Brazil is kind of like actually the like 80s sci-fi film Brazil. Kind of is that now, but like
a little bit, yeah.
It's, I mean, it's nuts, but like I have to imagine that there's a shitload of people who are really pissed off that Lula was robbed and then railroaded for like years. So yeah, no, I think he has a good chance.
Yeah, I mean, he's just so much fun. My favorite tweet of like the last month was Vincent Bevins, who wrote The Jakarta Method. He was at some kind of event and he just tweeted, Lula is here and he's wearing Skechers.
Hell yeah.
I was like, fuck yeah, man of the people. That's Lula right there. So like, the thing is that like Fair goes over all of the details. Like, yes, indeed, Lula has consistently stifled imperial aspirations of the United States, the CIA in Brazil. And like Western interests are not going to be happy if he resumes power, especially on the heels of, you know, socialist, at least quasi-socialist wins in places like Chile, Peru, and Bolivia. Which is interesting because those places are also receiving write-ups. So in Bolivia, the interesting thing is that they have, that's the one where they have Luis Arce, right? Who was the, yeah, he was the former kind of second in command to Evo Morales.
Yeah.
And they haven't really been able to fuck with Bolivia too much ever since the big protests and the Democratic re-election, where they had to get the state back from, what was her name, Jeanine Añez, and
Jeanine Hitler Añez, like
pretty much
like one of those bitches who's just like a blonde haired white skinned like South American who is like lineage can be traced directly back to fucking like Heinrich Himmler or something.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like one of the opposition candidates in Chile actually was a direct descendant of an SS officer.
Jesus.
Mask off, baby.
Yeah, yeah, they don't give a fuck down there. I mean, there's just so many kids and grandchildren of Nazis running around South America. But the thing that they're doing in Bolivia right now is that you have things like the New York Times, which are writing these cutesy little write-up pieces for American entrepreneurs who are having trouble competing with Chinese firms in places like Bolivia, vying for their lithium, of course. So the guy that they're talking about in this article primarily, his name is Teague Egan, and he runs a company.
what a fucking name is that?
Not a real name. Come on.
He's not a real guy. He runs a company called Energy X. And in all ways seems to be a like badly stamped clone of Elon Musk.
So you mean he's going to succeed?
He's probably
going to get a lot of backing. Yeah. So Bolivia has a quarter of the world's lithium and 12 million people, and this guy is just rolling up with no fucking experience in lithium, having just gotten into it a few years ago, mm-hmm. and saying shit like, this is the new Saudi Arabia.
who just gets into lithium? It's like, that's like me as an adult. I'm going to get back into playing with Legos. This guy's like, I'm going to get into mining a South American country for its resources.
I mean, that's a thing that rich
it sounds
people
like
get
he
into.
Comes from a very rich family background, right? Like, it mentioned something about his dad owning a company. Like, this very much sounds like somebody who kind of like has millions of dollars of money to like invest in whatever. I think the article said like he tried being like a music manager and a sports manager.
He was born with a silver dick in his mouth.
Yeah, it's like the kind of thing that, you know, a rich dipshit who went to like got an MBA would be like, how could I make money? Maybe I'll work with sports. I love sports. You know, I love music. Maybe I'll find some way to grift money out of music. Oh, and sure, they didn't get quite enough. So he was like, how about energy instead? How about I become Saudi Arabia?
Exactly. This is the venture capitalist, like trust fund kid dipshit equivalent of getting a write-up in Brooklyn Vegan if you're a musician. Yeah. You know, he's just like, I got in the New York Times for trying to outcompete China for Bolivian lithium. And they're just like, wow, Teague, you did such a great name. Sorry. Wow. You did such a great job. I can't stop thinking about his name.
His fucking name. I don't know. I was just Googling him. And I don't know if this is a joke, but there's a website that's like called Habit Stacker. And the article is Teague Egan net worth and key habits. And it says he has a bachelor's degree in entrepreneurship. That's not a real degree, right? Like, did they give those out?
Maybe at one of those like Christian fundamentalist universities or something. Maybe he's Mormon.
He went to the hard school of the Sigma grind set, basically.
That's like that's like getting a degree in like I went to college for being a I don't know, it's just that's cool insane.
I
went to college for waking up at 5 a.m and like taking a shot of fish oil before going back to bed for 3 hours.
I mean, and the way that this New York Times article talks about him,
fish oil's good, but the
the way this New York Times article talks about him is insane too. It says, just as wildcatters have long sought riches prospecting for oil, the clean energy revolution is spawning a wave of gritty entrepreneurs who hope to ride a new boom, vaulting themselves into the intersection of geopolitics and climate change. Some are familiar names like Elon Musk at Tesla, while Mr. Egan and others are strivers looking for their first break in mineral-rich places like Bolivia, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and the South Pacific. So this guy's just like, I'm finally getting my first break. And it's like, buddy, you already tried and failed at two other like careers.
Teague Egan sounds like a guy who'd have two cousins named Turducken and Toboggan.
Yeah. Teague Egan, and this is my brother Coffee Egan. I don't even know. Teague is such a weird name because it's like, isn't it just a word?
Especially when your last name is Egan. Like, if your first and last name almost rhyme like that, you should reroll.
Wouldn't Teague be short for Teagan? So his name would be Teagan Egan?
Maybe?
I have no idea. Oh, well, and God. Chris, you sent a photo in the chat of this guy too, right?
Oh yeah, if you scroll through the New York Times article enough, I mean, like, you called it a cutesy little article, but this is like a cutesy massive article. This is one of their like multimedia ones where they have like all this like photos and like text comes over it. Yeah, he's wearing a like quarter zip hoodie, quarter zip fleece thing of his Energy X company. And the quote they put over it.
This MF is looking like an extra on Succession.
He does look like he's on Succession.
Yeah, this MF got that failed out of Burning Man drip.
Wow. So also, Googling this guy is some incredible stuff. There's something from, I think it's Jake Paul's podcast. It's like a 4-minute clip, and it's titled "How to Live to 150 Years Old." Teague Egan. Hashtag live forever, hashtag immortal, hashtag CRISPR.
Rich guys always think they know how to live a long time. It's like, bro, you get to go to the doctor whenever you want. That's it. That's how you live a long time.
I am sure it is some like mumbo jumbo about how CRISPR will let you like remove the telomeres from DNA, and then automatically that'll just mean we live forever. We're immortal now.
I would like a, you know, why hasn't CRISPR developed like a home, at home CRISPR? Like yeah. I'd like a little appliance that I have on my counter that makes things crispier.
Yeah, yeah. Like an air fryer, but for your jeans.
That's right.
That'd be cool.
Oh, I got my mom an air fryer for Christmas.
When I was a kid, I always thought that'd be the best way to cook food is you just make a heat gun and then you just point it at the food and it heats it up. But I was never like thinking like, oh yeah, you'll just set a table on fire, John.
That would be an extraordinarily American way of like making a kitchen appliance. It's a gun that cooks your food.
Yeah, yeah, like that old question that's like, how hard would you have to slap a chicken to cook it? But the American version is like, how many bullets would you have to put through a chicken to cook it?
Just in the kitchen on Thanksgiving, and it's like, I'm gonna slow roast this one. So the AK, the bump stock, I took off the bump stock. It just goes off every 2 seconds. And then after an hour, it's all cooked. You got to take the lead out afterwards. But
do you guys have Christmas dinner plans?
Nothing really so far.
Yes, I have two Christmas dinners because I have divorced and remarried parents. So nice. I get to go eat two full-ass dinners with two full-ass families. Yeah, the first one's going to be real early because we still got a step-grandparent alive on that side. Mm-hmm. And we're going to eat dinner at like 3.
Hell yeah. And,
yeah, well, it's good because then I can go eat my extremely late dinner at my mom's house at like 9 or 10.
You're gonna have to fast for like 3 days to make room for mm-hmm. that shit.
Oh hell no. I got
approval for the first time ever. I am going to make the roast. I'm gonna get a giant fucking hunk of beef, and I've been saving up my bacon grease. I'm gonna sear it on all sides with bacon grease. And then I'm going to take it out of the pan. I'm going to deglaze the pan. Onions, garlic, a little red wine.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
And then, and then the beef goes back in. I hit it up with beef stock, potatoes, carrots, parsnips. That's low key. Like parsnips, they're like better carrots. All right. Yeah. Nobody knows this. All right. This is key information you're getting on the Beep Beep Lettuce podcast. But parsnips fucking slap.
People overlook the nips, man. Turnips, that's a great potato replacement if you want to change things up a little bit as well.
No, that's a little too crazy for me, man.
Come on, you can't talk shit about the turnips, man.
Turnips, celery in there.
Yeah.
A little bit of everything. And then in the oven for like 45 minutes, an hour, and then it comes out. And it's this beautiful roast. And then what you do is you use, it's just cornstarch with the juice that comes out, and it makes mm-hmm. gravy. You got gravy to pour over everything.
You got a beautiful gravy.
Yeah.
Nice. That sounds really good.
No, I'm looking for, this is the first time my family has trusted me with cooking for a holiday. I'm very
They always
stoked.
Cook everything?
No, my mom always cooks everything, but it's like, come on. I you know, she works so hard. Yeah. You know, she Thanksgiving. Let me get this. All right?
I always bring sides.
Let me cook a little bit.
I'm glad that I don't have to bring dessert ever because my stepbrother is a fucking like, he's a chef. He's like a trained dessert chef.
Nice.
So
nice.
I don't ever have to like bake a cake or anything. I can show up with deviled eggs covered in spam and be like, here you go.
Deviled eggs with spam sounds fucking good, dude.
They're it just
fucking
sounds pretty delicious. Good, yeah.
Really, I got to give all the credit to my wife on that one. That's
how do you
not really
do, wait,
me,
wait, but, how do you do the spam?
Well, you cube it real fine and then you heat it up. You know, you sear it on all sides.
Mm, there you go.
And then it's pretty much ready to go. You just sprinkle it on top of the egg yolk mixture inside
the
deviled
egg. That's fucking crazy.
It's so good.
Holy shit. I never thought to do that. And I love deviled eggs. I'm going to make those too.
Yeah, you got to do it. You can do it with spam. You can do it with bacon. You can do it with prosciutto. You know, whatever. It's there's a lot of options there. I also like a deviled egg with just French fried onions on top of it. That's delicious as well.
Oh, just like the can of onions. You just sprinkle some on top.
I eat those like the potato chips.
Oh, those are great. I love those.
I just picked up a thing of cornichons.
The little onions? Mm-hmm. Or no,
those are tiny pickles.
Pickles. Yeah. Those are delicious.
I love the fucking cornichons. Aldi has the best ones. They're like really sweet.
I got those today. I got the Aldi cornichons. They're so fucking good.
They're like outrageously good, aren't they?
And they're so cheap. Yeah. Okay. Damn. Are we going to... Yeah, no. This has been your beep cooking segment.
I have no idea what I'm making for Christmas, but I'll make sure to remember once I do make it, and then I'll regale everyone on January 2nd or whenever we do the next episode.
Nice.
About what I made.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Christmas because I bring sides to a lot of meals and stuff, but I don't think that I'm really going to have to bring very much to the meals. this year, so I'm going to be able to basically just like breeze through and have a nice and tidy little Christmas. And then right after that, like 2 days after Christmas, I got to start waking up at 4 to go to this new job. So that'll
be
a
fun adjustment. Do you guys get any cool gifts for... you can spoil it on the podcast. None of our family listens to this.
They're not listening. We went to this place called Horrocks, which is like a multiple markets in one kind of deal. Mm-hmm. All throughout Michigan, I think they have multiple locations. And one of their big things is that they do giant bags of different kinds of popcorn.
Nice.
And we got a bunch of those to add to people's gifts.
Hell yeah.
So they'll get like a bag of turtle popcorn. Or I actually bought a big bag of the jalapeno popcorn, but it's so good and so spicy, I'm not giving it away. That one's for me.
Is it like jalapeno cheese or something? Like what kind of spice is a jalapeno popcorn?
Jalapeno white cheddar, I think.
Oh, ooh, that sounds so good.
Oh, it that sounds really good.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I want that.
Chris, anything, you got anything good?
I didn't really get anything this year. I sort of didn't think about it until it was too late. I didn't want to like ship stuff that would just sort of like get clogged up in the whole fucking mailing system. Maybe like next month.
I got my dad a t-shirt that says, "Let's go, Brandon."
Because is he a big Brandon fan?
Yeah, no. He's a big Brandon fan. And I like, he was the one that first said it to me. Like when people first started saying, "Let's go, Brandon," I didn't know what it meant. And I was like,
your dad told you about it.
My dad explained it. But can you imagine like a 68-year-old man explaining "Let's go, Brandon"?
Hey,
where did he hear about it?
This one says "Let's go, Brendan."
Oh fuck! I got you a knockoff.
Yeah, we should make one. Let's go, Brendan Fraser.
This guy's just a home movies fan. He really loves Brendan Smalls.
Wait, so how did your dad hear about it? Just from the TV? The TV told him?
No, he doesn't watch that much TV. I think he listens to like AM radio, which is basically Beep Beep Lettuce for boomers.
He's a Redditor. He's big on Reddit. He's got a lot of gold.
He loves r/ political jokes or political memes or whatever.
Political compass memes. That's where he mostly hangs out.
When r/ the Donald was banned, he stood up and put his flag at half mast.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing about all those different networks. Like, I'm starting to regret signing up for all those stupid right-wing Gab, Parler, whatever, as a joke, because it's like now I get emails and they're like, "Your data may be compromised," and I'm like,
I signed up for
away passwords.
Like, I signed up for Alex Jones's mailing list. I'm on all of those things.
I am still getting a lot of emails from Getter, despite the fact that I haven't gone in there in a while.
Getter, that doesn't even sound like a social media service. Yeah,
yeah,
that's Larry the Cable Guy's.
That's right.
Social media service.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember why it was Getter. It was just one of those many like scam kind of sites that was like, "We're being silenced on Twitter. Come join our Twitter clone." And then it's like mostly no one's on there.
I'm pretty sure I'm still domain squatting on the Gab at Steven Crowder username.
Nice.
One of those. Really funny.
Well, I was cosplaying as Baron Trump on Getter, but I forget what ad I got. I think it was something pretty good. I might have just gotten like real Baron Trump or like Baron Trump reel or something.
Well,
but there's just no one on there.
Facebook announced that they were doing that whole metaverse thing, and then apparently there was some kind of person whose Instagram handle was at metaverse and it just straight up disappeared.
Oh wow.
And they just like took her fucking account away from her, and I didn't read the whole article or anything, but I was just like, wow, that's completely fucked that they can just do that. We're launching our new product, Facebook villain.
Yeah.
Hey, wave goodbye to your handle, John. It's like an evil Clippy that helps you make posts.
First they came for the metaverse. I did not speak up because my at was not metaverse, and then they came for the Facebook villains, but I didn't speak up. And then by the time they came for the good opinion havers, there was no one left to speak for me.
No, I mean, that's sorry, that's state literally of affairs. What it is, you gotta come up with a username that they can never take from you. Like,
that's why
it's gotta have a slur in it.
That's why my username is just my first name with a bunch of fucking numbers after it, and every day I delete and remake my account so it always says "joined today."
just you wait, John. Someone's gonna make another energy company and they're like, "Energy X seemed too boring. I'm gonna call this one John 4295865 just to kind of give it a robotic feel," and then they immediately have to steal your account.
I mean, there's an account that likes my posts sometimes on Twitter that's called Zero Follower Account, and I went to their page and it does actually have zero followers, and I sat there looking at it.
And I think I remember that one. It's just like his bio says, like, I will block any followers or something. Yeah, like, it doesn't let people follow him.
King shit. Yeah. No, that's such a good strat. That's a good strat to, like, speed run social media, zero followers, zero interactions, 100% blocks.
Zero followers, zero interaction, 1 million impression speed run. Like, can you have no followers but get a tweet to get that many impressions?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, did you guys see Rob McElhenney, the guy from Always Sunny, posted a fucking NFT and then received so much blowback for it that he deleted it in like 27 minutes?
God damn.
I did not see. What did he post?
It was a photo of a monkey, like a smoking monkey or some stupid shit. And he said, it's always decentralized in the metaverse. And then everybody had some hashtags, and then it was like half hour later, it was gone, which makes a lot of sense, because if you meet the average It's Always Sunny fan and ask them what they think about NFTs, they're like, if you tell me you bought one of those, I'll beat your ass.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to give my fucking anti but pro NFT spiel again, which is that, like, a picture of a monkey, if you spend money on that, you're a fucking dipshit. But once NFTs get, like, utility, like, they can actually be used for things,
I could see
them being used. But, like, if you buy NFTs where it's just a picture of a monkey, you're a fucking moron.
I mean, what would an NFT that can be used look like? A hammer? You know, a saw?
No. An NFT could be used like an artist can put up their art for attribution to sell their art. I mean, right, that's the most basic use case for a utility NFT. But like an NFT could have like utility where it's like, okay, you like this podcast? Well, you can mint an NFT that says, oh, you support this podcast and here are your favorite episodes, and now those favorite episodes of yours are stored on the blockchain. I think NFTs will have utility someday.
I think instead we'll of an NFT, we should be talking about an NSP, a non-smokable pipe, right? A picture of a pipe.
Mm-hmm. I can't articulate any of my points because I've been drinking. You guys know this.
Yeah. I mean, it might just be that NFTs are a solution in search of a problem, and they're also not even a solution to the problem that they are purportedly a solution to, but we'll see. It remains to be seen.
Well, the trick is to create a solution in search of a problem and then create a problem for everybody else. And good at creating problems for everybody in my life.
Well, it's like when you've got a hammer, everything looks like a nail, right? But in the case of NFTs, it's more like whenever you've got that thing that guy posted on Reddit who he's like, made this while tripping, no idea what it does, not trying to find out.
When you have a hammer and a sickle, everything looks like the Romanov family.
Yeah, but that one's that one's I think that's more useful.
What if you made communism an NFT? What if you made the manifesto an NFT?
That's an interesting.
What about fucking that, bitch?
That's an interesting guy, though. Like, guy who instead of like thinks everything is like a global conspiracy or everything is communism. Guy who like is minorly inconvenienced at the post office and he's like, this is the Romanov Empire.
Well, look, no, I mean, like you're trying to make up a guy, but it's kind of accurate because like I'm a guy who thinks everything is a global conspiracy, but I think everything is capitalism.
Right. Oh, I thought you were going to say Catholicism, and I was like, that's the kind of guy I
also
am.
Also the case.
Yeah. Every time I step accurate. My toe, I'm like, goddamn Pope!
Again?
I know this is a papal conspiracy to take me down.
If we had a lady Pope, if Hillary Clinton had become the Pope, none of this shit would be fucking happening to me right now.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, this is probably all payback for the time I killed a bishop, but it was so long ago. It was the 90s. I was six, you know?
I didn't know that when I tripped him over, he would get caught up in his robes falling down the stairs and just tumble down all the stairs until he hit the bottom. And then that kills an 85-year-old man.
Right. People might think I'm trying to make a different kind of Catholic joke. Don't be fooled. Just because I was six, there was no impropriety. I simply killed him.
FBI, if you're listening, this is definitely a joke. No, don't look into it.
If you're listening, FBI, if you're listening, if your name is Teague Teagan, fucking kill yourself.
Teague Teagan.
Fucking end your own life. Not a joke. This is not satire. This is not in Minecraft. Teague Teagan, fucking kill yourself.
It's Teague Egan, but the way you're saying is funnier, honestly.
Teagan Teagan, kill yourself.
Should be his name.
Teague Egan and Sarah.
Yeah, at least start a fucking like pop band with your sister. Have some self-respect. Don't do this fucking Bolivian coup shit.
Yeah,
energy bullshit you're trying to do.
That's right. Where's your real grind set? I want to see you smoke two blunts within 10 minutes of waking up. I want to see you prove yourself to me. We're going to jump you in and make you do a dab where we control how much wax we put in that little bowl.
Yeah, I want to see you fucking do a dab and then do a soul level one run of Dark Souls. That's the fucking grind set right there. The grind set where you don't grind because you're not leveling up.
You guys both played Dark Souls?
No.
You haven't played it, John?
No, I haven't.
Chris, it's pretty fun. Yeah, I got really into it last year. Like, I was kind of late to the party. But
I didn't
want to
be the
fun.
Only guy on the pod who hasn't played Dark Souls.
Well, as long as John doesn't play it. You're,
the only games I play these days are like racing games where you can like do rally shit. You know?
Yeah, that sounds pretty fun.
I've been playing Bloons Tower Defense Battles 2, baby. They've been doing updates.
You've been playing that game since we started this podcast.
When we started this podcast, and it was 6 years old then. It's 10 years old now, and the sequel finally came out. It's about a month old. And let me tell you, the meta is crazy.
I love a crazy meta.
You do love a crazy meta. And you know what? I'm the only one who's unlocked all my shit on Glue Gunner already. And everyone's like, oh, Glue Gunner's a garbage tier tower. It's like late game. You idiot. Late game. You gotta defend until the Glue Gunner is worth it. You moron. You fool. So, yeah, needless to say, I'm having a lot of fun playing that.
I may have to check this game out. It's free to play, right? You've got to grind all the resources and shit.
Free to play. Right. Yeah, you got to grind XP for your towers. And actually, with the last two balance patches that they put out, they really raised the amount of XP you can earn without paying any money. So it's a better time than not a sponsored podcast, but it's a better time than ever to get into playing Bloons Tower Defense.
We are literally leaving money on the table by not playing this video game.
Yeah, Bloons, if you want to give us, $10,000, we'll be happy to spend 30 seconds mentioning your video game in another episode.
I think we could run this podcast into the ground by bringing on like way too many sponsors. Like it's like every 5 minutes is a new sponsor. I think that'd be fun.
We certainly
should try that. just be a NASCAR. Like NASCAR outfit. Well, I just mean the way the car and the outfit are all covered in just different ads.
I mean, that's how like podcasts are, though. Like, I was just talking to my wife about this. Like, most podcasts, you start them up and they're like, welcome to, you know, Shitting in the Creek, the only Shits Creek podcast on the you know, Bing Bong Podcast Network, brought to you by Colgate Toothpaste, brought to you by Amazon. Don't forget to click our affiliate link. Don't forget to click through. The link is in the description. Don't forget to like and subscribe. It's like, come on, man. Tell a joke already, you know? How many musical interludes and voiceover clips do I need to hear before you actually get to the meat and potatoes of your podcast?
I don't do this podcast for the fucking ad revenue. I do this podcast so I don't kill myself.
Yeah, we need to start doing all that cutesy shit, but instead of doing it in post, we need to do it live and just bring like a glockenspiel up and point the mic at it and be like, ding.
No, that would be fun. I think we should get more like shock radio effects. Yeah.
It starts like a regular podcast and gradually turns into an Animal Collective song. That's what I'm talking about.
So if this is going to be our last major episode before the new year, what are our resolutions? What do we think we're going to do?
Interesting. What am I going to do in 2022?
I'm going to keep not drinking as much. That's my big one. I'm going to get real drunk on New Year's. And then after that, I'm going to go back to drinking about half the days in a week.
Seems like a solid move.
All right. Yeah. That's healthy. Yeah.
I feel like Chris? Just being 32 has like made that be my resolution by default, because I'll go out and I'll have like a couple of drinks and be like, oh, that seems like plenty. I don't want to feel horrible.
Okay, but enough about being healthier human beings. Like, what constructive resolutions we got?
Well, I'm hoping if Joe Biden comes through town, I could take some lessons from John and, you know, maybe I'd kick him in an area where the sun does not shine.
Ooh.
Squared and directly in that area.
Purely parody satire.
Mm-hmm. Or Eric Adams. He's going to probably need that pretty soon once he's the new mayor of New York.
I mean, there's a Socialist Rifle Association around here that one of my friends has gotten pretty active with. I've been thinking about going to the range with them sometime. Maybe I'll try to follow through on that.
That does sound fun. Like learning to shoot a gun. Yeah.
You don't need a Socialist Rifle Association to shoot guns. You could just shoot guns whenever. This is America.
Well, this is Michigan, especially.
Especially.
Yeah, you can shoot guns wherever the fuck you want.
You can fucking go smoke a huge dab rig and then shoot guns and then bring the gun back to your house and... Man, I wish guns were legal here. That would
They're like a vape pen up here. It's like, yeah, you could probably get away with lighting that thing off in a Target.
Yeah, you just got to be slightly sneaky about it. But you could pull your gun out and like take a little shot into the ceiling and put the gun away.
Why is he going to the bathroom so much? Is he doing drugs? And it's like, no, he just needs to use his gun every 20 minutes or he gets anxious.
He's cleaning his gun. Just like at a show, and you know, one person sneaks out a little joint and lights it up, hiding from the security guard. Another guy pulls out a little gun and like shoots it into the ground and then puts it back away.
Hell yeah, brother. All right.
That's the move.
On that celebratory note, we should probably wrap up the episode. I have holiday shit that I have to start go tending to. My parents have just arrived in town, etc.
Already.
So
we're making a list of all of our favorite listeners, and we're checking it twice, specifically to make sure that I don't know, fucking
yeah. We're gonna find out who's sober and high.
Yeah, we're gonna find out if you're high right now or not when you listen to the episode.
And, that's right.
If you're high, you're in big trouble. If you're not high, actually.
That's right, young man or woman or whoever. You are in a load of shit right now.
you're actually napping in class. You're back in middle school and you're going to have to go to the principal's office for being high. Weed is That's much right. less legal now. But also, man, George Bush is still president.
I also invest in Bitcoin. Because it's 2006.
If anyone's nodding off to sleep at the end of this episode, they're going to have very confusing dreams. Yeah. But on that note, thank you so much for all the support, wherever you might give it. If you're not in the Discord, get in the Discord. Listen to our other shows and
beep on, y'all.
Keep beeping.
Do not buy Mongoose Coin. It's probably a bad idea at this point.
It's already going down, it looks like. But yeah, we'll see you guys in the new year. And
you missed the bubble.
Beep on. Bye.